Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glad to be out tonight.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Humbly bow before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You once again. Lord, we love and appreciate You with all our hearts. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to gather once again in Your precious name. Lord, it's hard to explain, Lord, what we feel sometimes, Lord. How unworthy we feel, Lord, for all You've done for us. It just makes You feel so humble. Lord, like You humbly went to the cross for us, we appreciate it, Lord. Lord, we just ask You to have Your way this night. Lord, let us really, sincerely, Lord, sing these songs unto You this night. Lord, You deserve everything, all the praise we can give You. Lord, just bless each and every heart that's here this night. We ask You to bless this service. Everything be said and done only for Your glory and Your honor. In Thy precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So good. Page 28 in our little capstone books, or 24, I'm sorry. Here I am to worship. Amen. Light of the world, You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore You. Hope of a life spent with You. Oh, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here
here I am to say that You're my God.
He created just for me and you. Amen. Amen. Page 28, same little book. Amen. Think about these words. Above all, amen. Acknowledging as your Lord and King. Amen. Above all power, above all King. Above all nature and all creative things, above all wisdom and all ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all. Thankful we thought of us.
Yes, yes.
Amen. No other way. Amen. I look at this little chorus that's been on my heart. To God be the glory. We used to sing it as young adults. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Is that how you feel? Amen.
Amen.
Sing a low chorus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things He has done with His blood, He has saved me with His power. Give your life to Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. He is so precious. Amen. Brother Amos, would you come up and take up the offering?
Lord, once more as we go to this portion, we ask that you bless this offering. Lord, let it be used for the upbuilding of
thy kingdom. Amen.
Commit it into thy hands. We thank you. We ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Oh, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. With His blood. Special need on our heart tonight as we, amen. We got a special request here from Sister Danielle Armstrong. My mom, Nancy LaFever, she is having a major surgery to move a tumor from her neck. Doctors think it is cancerous. Just keep her in your prayers.
Amen.
You know, God knows everything. Amen. The footsteps of the righteous are ordained to God.
Yes.
And, you know, her heart goes out for her mom. And we ought to remember in prayer this night. Ask God to take full control. Amen. Maybe deal with her heart. Bring her in. Amen. You never know. Nothing is too impossible for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. As we keep the knees before Him, we ask our pastor if you would take the request. Amen.
Our heads bowed. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we again are so thankful that you give us this channel to talk to you, Lord.
Yes.
We call prayer, but Lord, we, by mercy and grace, have given this opportunity. That Lord, you would cover us by your precious blood. And through mercy and grace, Lord, that you rewrite our lives to complete new creation. And Father, that you would be able to live through and act through. That, Lord, when we come to these times of the needs we have, and each one of us have, Lord, different needs in our lives. And as our precious sister, Lord, has requested prayer for her mother,
yes.
Lord, you're the great physician. You're also the great Savior. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would reach down in this situation, Lord, and lay your loving hand and touch and heal, Lord, and bring salvation.
Yes.
Oh God, the things that look impossible to us may, and it may seem sometimes it would be so hard for different things to happen. But there's something about it. You know how to do everything, Lord. You're good at everything you do. Lord, if we can just commit ourselves to you and all the situations and circumstances in life, we know that you can take care of them, Father. We ask now that you would bless there. Bless each hand as it went up, Lord. You know. I don't know standing here, but I'm so thankful I know the one that does know. And Lord, we appreciate you so very much. So we ask that you would just touch each one, Lord, as they raised their hand, and signifying the need was there. Lord, whether it be a healing or something they have need of, or maybe for a loved one, Lord, you're more than able to take care of it. Just help us now, Lord, each one's an individual to be in that position with you and be in the right condition. And Lord, we can receive what we ask for. And Lord, we know we stand here tonight by grace that we have no condemnation. And we appreciate you, Lord, so thankful for your love for us.
Yes.
Pray now thy will be done. Bless the remainder of the service with our prayer. And bless our brother as he comes and delivers the word of God. Open our hearts to it and bless our brother, Lord, make it easy for him. And may your will be done now in all these things. In your glorious, most precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you turn up the volume and play that chorus and the verse? Amen. Just meditate. Listen. Think about all he's done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. times I think about that little quote, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The kids have a song tonight. We asked the kids to come. I guess they got a song. Strength from God.
Yeah.
He's on time.
Yes,
he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's always on time. He knows what you need.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's so precious.
Praise His holy
name. Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. I just feel His Holy Spirit today.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. God is so great.
Yes, He is. So wonderful.
Sorry.
Praise His name.
Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. We ask our brother to come. Amen. Sing that little chorus. Fill my cup, Lord. Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Here's my cup.
that your desire. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are counted a great privilege, Lord, to be able to come one more time and gather around your precious word. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you're mindful of us, Lord, and that you're here watching over us. Lord, to bring us to that place that you saw in your mind we would be. And Lord, we just humbly ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us, Lord, to yield to you in a greater manner. And Lord, just to give up our own will, Lord, and our own desires. And Lord, let you truly have the full preeminence in our lives. And Lord, we just humbly ask that you would bless these few words you've laid upon my heart to bring back to our remembrance. But Lord, the purpose behind it you only know, but Lord, may it help us in some way, Lord, reach higher in you. And we'll never fail, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the lovely, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's so precious. Amen. Just so thankful for what he's doing for us. Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to, let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read some scriptures tonight that our pastor just read. I know it's probably been 3 or 4 services ago, but for some reason, it just feels led to the Lord to read these things. And, you know, when we feel that way, we just read it. God's word is inspired. But though we've heard it, let's just listen to it tonight like we've never heard these scriptures. You know, we've been in this message a long time. We've heard everything from front to back, probably. We can memorize things, but we need God to dip a revelation of his precious word into our hearts to bring it to pass the way it ought to be. Amen. But 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. Amen. We're just going to read these things. But start at the first verse. It's Paul speaking here, just to use this as a start for the text. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen above of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Paul truly, when you read the things he wrote and how he was truly writing from an experience of what God had done for him and had revealed to him, and how Paul could look back and see, as he said, he truly could see where he had persecuted the church. He never felt worthy in himself to be called an apostle, but God called him for that purpose. God chose him before there was a moon or a star, and God knew every step he would take and all that would befall him. But I like in that 10th verse, he says, "But it's by grace of God that I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." He never one time took any claim for that. He gave it all to God. If it was God that was driving him, it was the force inside of him, it was the Holy Spirit leading him and guiding him, pushing him, drawing him to that place. And if you would, let's turn over to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and read this chapter here, and listen as Paul begins to describe this. And you know, Paul was living this. He had seen this happen in his own life. And how each one of us has got to see it that real in our own hearts and lives. That it's a reality to us. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And each one of us has to be able to truly, as our brother was speaking this morning, we've got to see that that change happened. We've got to see that it took place. We've got to, with a reality in our hearts, know that he has done a work in my life. We can't just go along as many have, going to church and being a faithful churchgoer and being a faithful listener to this message and continuing to be at every service and pay our tithes and pay our offering. But these scriptures was a reality to Paul. It was a life. He could see it had happened. And his life bore forth the evidence that it had happened in him. And how we've got to sit here as individuals before God and answer to God in our own hearts that, Lord, I know this has happened in my life with a reality. Because if we can't see that this has truly happened in me and see that I've truly saw that take place in my life, the things our brother's been speaking about's never going to take place the way that they've got to take place. But Jesus done a work in a special predestinated few, and he done it for a special purpose. And Paul goes on, he says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, which was called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God one in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Look where this places us, saints, what price he done for us. Think about it. All of these promises that are laying in this book are mine. If I can find myself in this scripture with a true love in my heart burning because of what he has done for me. He says, for by we both have access unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitance of God through the Spirit. And how this ought to strike our hearts in a greater measure, that when we can look and see that God, in his mercy, before there was a moon or a star, he saw you in his mind and chose you and has done this work in our hearts and in our lives. And if he's truly done this work in our lives, it should truly create a love affair in our lives. It's not a love affair I've got to try to make myself love God. I don't have to try to make myself abstain from different things in the world that I'd really like to be a part of. There's a love, once it's changed, Paul didn't have to try to keep from persecuting the Christians anymore. He didn't have to try to make himself go down into Arabia and lay before the Lord and let God remold and shape his life. Something took a hold of him that was greater than he was himself. And I want you to listen here. I'll read this real quick before we go on. Let's see. Let me not get out of order. Amen. He says here, this is, Brother Branham had made this statement in perfect faith. When we were, well, before I get there, let me jumping ahead. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Thinking about Paul and his great experience. And then he can see why he would say something like this. In Romans 12 in the 3rd chapter. 12th chapter, 3rd verse. For I say through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Because it was God that's done everything that he's doing for us. We had nothing to do with it. We sit here tonight by God's mercy and grace. And if I have a revelation and I can see God changing my life, it's nothing that I have ever done to deserve that. It's not because I sat under some great teacher maybe years ago and I really learned well under that man. But it's down to God's amazing grace that he just spoke to you and saw you in his mind and filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gave you a new birth. And a desire change that will drive you and bring you to every promise God has left for us. Amen. And as Brother Branham said here, this is in Perfect Faith, paragraph 132. When we were sinners alienated without God in a world, in that muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you, you never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. Amen. And God came down in that muck. What you were, he sought you out and brought you out. And that ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. Amen. What did that? Somebody that loved you. Amen. Can't you have faith in what he promised you? Real, genuine love will create a confidence in his word. Amen. He caught me when I was nothing. And I am still nothing, but I am in his hand. See, he caught me and he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you. Just like the collared sister said that time in her testimony. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but then I'm not what I used to be. She knowed she had come somewhere. Something had happened. And that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me, till he stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives me confidence that he wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today and look at the millions he could have took beside you, but he took you. And no one can take your place. You're in God's economy and no one can do it. That is his love to you. Amen. Then won't your love reach right back to him? And I want you to think about it. How great it is even in the natural when you've really truly done something for somebody that they really, really needed. And just was maybe in the pits of despair and maybe you was able to help them in some way. In the natural you can see how grateful someone can be, and they can't do enough for you. But I want you to think about what God did for us. We had no way out, no way of hope, no way to escape. And he paid a price for us. And to think that as a man going up Calvary's Hill and praying in the garden, as our brother read to us a couple services ago, the great pain and despair and the agony that as a man knowing that he had to go to that cross and praying, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And to take the stripes and to be beaten and to mocked and scoffed. And all that he done for you and I that we could sit here. And feel the wonderful presence we felt tonight as we sang. And as we worship him and to feel him come down and talk to us. Or maybe I'm driving down the road and I just begin to talk to him and I can feel his presence fill the car where you're at. All that he's done for us and all that he's done and given us. What a love it ought to create in our hearts. Of what an appreciation it ought to be. And how it should be so hard for us to forget the purpose for which we've been sent. We've been sent here to finish a work. We've been sent here to do what he and finish out all that he's left. There's going to be a rapture. He's getting a people prepared for a catching away. We see the chaos in the world. We see it all winding up. We see it fighting here and fighting there. And it's all just building and building and building. But as we see that taking place, God said before that happened, he was going to show that little bride off, as our brother was mentioning. And there's going to be a people that with a love affair in their heart. They're going to keep every word God has left for us. It's not a thing of back to, well, my church says I can't go there. I can't go there. It's not a thing, well, I just won't tell the church I'm going to go do that because they won't know that I'm there and it'll be all right. I won't, you know, we don't want the rules. We just won't say nothing. But there's a love affair. that God's word is constraining us. He's got the preeminence of our hearts and of our lives, and we're not doing anything that we could be ashamed before him. He's watching over us, and it's a reality that he sees all. He is the all-seeing eye. But you know, we've lived so long in a message world, so to speak, to where we think as long as nobody else knows about it, as long as I can do this, I can justify it in my own mind. Maybe I didn't even pray about it. Maybe I didn't search the word of God. I just went and did it. But that time's got to cease. That time's got to go away and come back to where a people can truly see that Jesus Christ is leading us by his Holy Spirit. Every action, every thought, every word that we speak, it's declaring Jesus Christ. Not the old person I used to be. Not the old way I used to treat people. Not the way I used to spout off to my husband, or maybe as a husband I didn't love my wife. It can't be none of that. Maybe I didn't correct my children and I let them go. But there's got to be a change seen in our hearts and in our lives. That Jesus Christ is showing forth that he is ruling and reigning on the heart and throne of a people's lives. It's got to be a reality, that's a change that's seen. Not just something I claim, but it's got to be seen in me. And seen in you with a reality that I know that's happened for him. But we've went on so long, people have claimed us all their life. But as our brother has been, the Holy Spirit's been laying it upon his heart, how we can see that that Spirit's trying to draw us in. He paid the price. He's done the work for us. He just needs somebody to yield to him in such a way that they'll give their body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable service that he can fulfill the work that he said he would do. Amen. Hallelujah. This is in the message, the faith that once was delivered to the saints, preached November 29th, 1953. Brother Branham speaking here, he says, about halfway down, he says, someone said here not long ago when I almost went through a breakdown, they let me stay in the pulpit for 8 days and nights without leaving, praying for the sick. And I said, I'll pray for them all. And there was just about three times as many, maybe more when I stopped, than I did start when I started. Constant line, day and night running, and I slept against the side of the pulpit, drank orange juice and things, sitting beside the pulpit. And when I come out, I couldn't tell where I was at. And I was out of it for about 8 months like that. And in there, someone said, Brother Branham, did you keep your religion all that time? And I said, oh, no. It kept me during that time. I couldn't kept it. It keeps me. And that's the way Jesus Christ is. He keeps us. We don't keep him. He keeps us. It's not whether I can hold on. It's whether he held on or not. And that's the main thing. It's what he done, what God did for me in Christ is what I am today. And that's why what you are by the sovereign grace of God. Now, in order, if you went out here and looked out in your field, and a big field was all plowed and fixed up real nice, there's something planted in there. The only way that you're going to know what's planted in there is to go back and raise up the clods, look under there and see what the seed is. And you'll find out what kind of crop you'll have by the kind of seed you got planted. Is that right? And when our Bible said that we are sown with the incorruptible seed of God, imperishable, it cannot perish. God's word can't perish. Now, every seed will bring forth of its kind. Let's go back and find today, in that great age that we live in, one of the greatest, darkest times of all times, the history outside of dark ages that I could ever think of, to what little history I've read we're living right now. When 2,000 years of Christians teaching, and yet the world 2 years ago hatched about 13 million infidels. Just think of that. The darkest time we've ever seen. We've got the best colleges we've ever had. We've got the very best schools we've ever had. We've got some of the best educated men that ever stood in the pulpit. And we've got less Christianity than the world has known in years and years. That's true. Just like doctors, we got the best doctors we've ever had. We got the best science we've ever had. We've got the best medicine we've ever practiced with. We've got the best hospitals we've ever known, the best trained nurses, and got more sickness than the world ever heard of. Amen. Because we've got more sin and unbelief than the world ever heard of. That's exactly right. In a day of what we call civilization, we've become uncivilized. We take the wrong road at it. I say many times, I'm not talking about the group that I'm speaking to this afternoon. I'm talking to the world in a whole. It's a whole lot easier to talk. I can take a child of 8 years old, and just listen to his example. I can take a child of 8 years old and make him see Jesus Christ 1,000 times quicker than I can a man with 2 degrees out of some college somewhere. He's just as smart. He just knows it all. And you can't tell him nothing. He's just got his mindset and he won't humble himself. And I want you to think in our side, how much degrees you could say we've got in the prophet's message. how much we've heard it, how much we know it, how much we can quote it, how, where page it's on, where it's at, and how many times he said it. We've all got computers. We can search this message inside out and try to find every word and sentence that he said. But we've got to find ourselves where we can humble ourselves down and truly ask God for the revelation of it, not what I think about it, not what somebody else told me about it, not an idea that I took and run with that this is the way this scripture is, when maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to bring it to our attention that you need to rethink the way you've thought about this. We've got to humble ourselves down and become as that little child and forget what we've learned all down through and forget where we've come from, forget what we thought we knowed and what we understand of the scriptures, and sit down in the humility and the quietness of the Holy Spirit and ask God to open my eyes to his precious word. Oftentimes we sit and we hear the word and maybe it goes over us because we know exactly the next sentence that our brother may read off the page. We may know exactly what that quote's going to say mentally. But has God dipped it down into my heart with a reality where it has brought a change in my life? Where the revelation itself is vindicating forth that what God said it would cause to happen, it has happened exactly that way. He says he won't humble himself. Salvation, Jesus Christ, and the power of healing, the power of God is no great mystery. It's something just right next to you. Why, Maya, it's just as simple as 1, 2, 3. Just believe God. That's all there is to it. It's just that simple. You tell your little girl you're going to get her something, she just believes it. That's all. But watch children when you get in the pulpit. Watch and see every one of them isn't healed because they just believe it. That's all. And it's not just believing, but it's having that revealed to you. As our brother has explained, don't think I'm going the other direction with this, as he's saying this, but a child has nothing else to consider. They have nothing else in their mind. And that's what he had mentioned it here. You take your little 2-year-old and tell them the moon's the sun. They wouldn't doubt you. They would take that and believe it and hold it dear in their heart that that was the sun. And that's what he was trying to say. We need to take a hold of God's word just the way God said it. And hold to it with that simplicity in our hearts. That what God said it would do, it will do exactly that. And don't lean to our own understanding or our conception of it. But just take it and just say, yes, Lord, let it be to me according to your will and follow after the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, you tell your little girl you're going to get, she just believes it. That's all. Watch children when you get in the pulpit. Watch and see if every one of them isn't healed because they just believe it. That's all. Watch them when they're called to the platform out there. No matter what's wrong with them when they're called out, watch them jump to their feet. No matter if they're crippled, blind, whatever it is, watch them receive it right now. But the elderly ones will sit around and say, no, wait, I can't move. I haven't moved this foot for a long time. A child won't think that. He will just jump to his feet right now. He will do. But we try to figure it all out. We got it figured out. What if Peter stopped that night to figure out? You told me to walk on the water. Now let me see. I'm strictly a scientist. I know their formula. Why? No man can walk on hydrogen and oxygen. There's no need of me trying. But you asked me something impossible. Then Peter never would have walked on the water. The only thing, he never figured out how it was. He just took God at his word and went walking on. And that's what we got to do. Not try to figure out how God is doing these things. Just accept it and go on. What if Moses turned aside to see the burning bush and he said, wait till I take some of the leaves and I'm going to take them down to the laboratory and find out the chemical, the leaf, that it doesn't burn. He never approached God. But he took off his shoes and come humbly and sat down and God spoke to him right out of the burning bush. And that's the way you've got to approach God humbly, taking his word no matter what it looks like. There, God just said so. I believe it, and that settled it. Amen. And how, as we're living in this age, there's many things that God's word may come. God's trying to take us to a closer walk with him. But will we push him off or try to figure out a way that I can still hold on to this and still walk this road over here? But we've got to humbly sit down, and truly, Moses knew it was going to be a great price. When God began to speak to him, he realized the price it was going to be to walk down in there. But he walked on with God. And Jesus is, we've been predestinated to this purpose. We've been sent for this. But we've got to see it in our hearts that we're not here to be the human citizens and American citizens of this country. But we were sent here from God to fulfill his word in this last age, and that there would be a true vindication of this precious word back through our lives. A people that was walking, not preachers and prophets, but a people that he would have the preeminence of. a people that would truly be led, that a people could truly see a change in our lives. Not we're an old sour person or we're so this way over here and that way over there, but a people can see Jesus Christ living in us. There's something from us where they just want to at least be in your presence so they can draw strength from you. They don't know what it is about you, but they enjoy being with you because they can feel the strength that you have. There's a peacefulness about you. There's a quietness. They can feel that from you. You're not worried and fretted and just falling apart over every little thing, but there's a calmness in your life. That comes only from Jesus. It's a peace He gives and sets in our hearts and in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. This is in the Message, The Unfailing Realities of the Living God, preached June 26th of 1960. Paragraph 72 starting. Hey, man, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. He says, now God promised in these days what He's going to do. And I would like to ask anybody, any minister, anywhere, of one promise that God made the church of what He said He would do, but what the real church is doing it now. But they don't want it. They don't want it. Jesus brought God to human lives, and God was made human. When Jesus was born, God became man that He might become fellowship with man in man. To what? Achieve one purpose, and that is to bring man what God is. Not what a church is, but what God is. Jesus came that He might present God to man, and man didn't want it. And the Holy Spirit comes today in like manner to present God to man. But man wants to go to church, and it drowns his thinking. He cannot fathom it. And we must learn that God is not known by intellectual conception. God is known by the new birth, by the Holy Ghost, and not by any other way. Jesus, the Bible has plainly quoted to us that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that He is the Christ, for that's the only way He reveals Himself. You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said so. After Peter had both been saved and sanctified and give power to cast out unclean spirits and to preach the gospel, Jesus plainly told him he was not converted until he received the Holy Ghost. And He said, after you're converted, then strengthen your brethren. That was on the night of the betrayal that he was not yet converted. No man is truly converted until he's been changed and died to himself, and the Holy Spirit has control of that person. But they don't want to do it. Now the Holy Spirit will not misbehave itself in one person and behave itself in another. It'll make each person come into its character. Listen as he puts this. It'll make each person come into its character because it's a spirit that leads you. It brings and makes you subject to its nature. You don't bring it subject to your nature. It makes you subject to its nature. And the Holy Spirit makes you live and love to do it. And oh, how you love to give up the things of the world when the Holy Spirit comes in. And how it cleanses you and washes you and puts a desire in you to follow Him. A thirst and a hunger for more of it. Just bathing yourself, He brings realities. And when God placed men here in the days of the Lord Jesus, He gave them a true roadmap to His power. A roadmap is something that tells you the which way you're headed. If you want to go when we leave here in the next few days, I've crossed the country so much, my old wife and I were amazed to think of it for the last few years. You could mention where you want to go, and I can tell you any road that leads to it within 15 minutes of the time you'll arrive from here to California. And I haven't missed it a time. Sometimes right on the dot, calculating my time of what the driving time is and the average time. I've just been back and forth and up and down and back and forth till you just know it. And that's the way God wants us to know His Word. We know it. We've traveled it. We've tested it. We've tried it. And you know where it leads to. And His roadmap is His Bible. And the Bible is the roadmap that leads to the power of God. And faith leads you to the power, and power produces the promise.
Amen.
And how, as our brother was mentioning this morning, if you'll think about that in tune with what He's been bringing. If we'll follow His roadmap and truly yield and give up our way of thinking about things. We've walked many a road, and many of us has come many different channels. And maybe been with different ministers and different teachers and different things down through life. Different denominations. But we've got to forget everything that we've ever thought we truly knew. And truly get back to a place where we can truly let God break us down and give us a revelation of His precious Word the way He intended it. Not what we've heard someone else say or what I accepted because somebody else said. But we've got to take it right back and let God bring it in its sweetness and its fullness. And take Him at His Word and don't question Him. Lord, if this must go, it must go. If this has to change, Lord, it has to change. And if He truly has called you and give you the baptism of the new birth, it won't matter. Everything that he shows us will leave and it'll take place exactly the way God wants it to go. And it'll vindicate itself that there is a change in me. That I am not ashamed of this gospel. As Paul was able to declare, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of what he's done in me, and I haven't failed to declare unto you the full gospel. What a testimony Paul had for his days on this earth. What's our testimony today? What's my life expressing? I might say a lot of things with my mouth, but can I truly see that my life is expressing to others that I am not what I used to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but by God's grace, I see that overcoming and that moving forward in my life. Oh, may we feel a challenge burning, saints. May it be stirring in our hearts. We're coming to the end of the road. It's so close. We could go home any day. God could call and finish this thing up. But are we looking for that truly? Are we still focused in on trying to live this life down here? Oh, saints, I've seen enough of this old world. Oh, what a day it's going to be when we cross over. Amen. And I pray, God, use me. As we sang the little song this morning, there must be a work for me to do, Lord. Show us. Show each one of us, Lord, and let us be humble and accept it. And if God does anything through anybody's life, remember, oh, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But it's all of the grace. For what I am by the grace of God. Oh, may it burn in our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you would. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Can we just sing that little chorus, Jesus got a hold of my life. Amen. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my heart, got into my soul. I used to be so sad. My life and he won't let me go. Amen. Sing it again. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my heart, got into my soul. Oh, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm free and I'm glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Amen. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my heart, got into my soul. Oh, I used to be oh so sad. Oh, but now I'm free and I'm glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Amen. Is that how you feel? Amen. You know, we've come too far to look back, saints. Oh, it ought to be burning. There ought to be a challenge. Something pulsating. As our brother said, it's a serious time. It's a sober time. But look at all God's left us. Look what he's done for us and where he's brought us from and where he's placed us. And he's still here presenting his word to us, trying to show us, son, I want you to hear. This is what I'm trying to get you to. But do we want that in our hearts more than anything? Or am I happy and content with where I'm sitting today? If I got it all, I don't need nothing. I'm happy with my life. But no, God has placed something down in the heart of that bride. She can't let go. There's something drawing her, pulling her greater than she is herself. Drawing her to a place in him. Oh, my, so precious. You know, I was thinking of the little sister that came and visited us this morning, and what a light she truly is in the place she's in. And, you know, when you think about it and see her come from a country to come to this country, not really knowing where she was headed, and to come into a school and she knows nothing of the country, but how down there is just full of wickedness. I don't know if you've ever been on the campus in Athens, but it's amazing. And of how just the filth and the corruption that's there. But here she is, with 23 years old, from a country she don't know anybody over here, but yet still got a desire in her heart to try to find a church to attend. And a longing to serve Jesus Christ. And, you know, she had told my wife, she had mentioned that she couldn't hardly find anything. America didn't make anything decent to sell in a store to wear. She was asking about her clothes. And as we talked about some different message churches, as we was taking her home, she had some questions, and just briefly, and we were discussing. And she said, I don't need to visit any more churches. She said, I found my family. And, you know, she's really sincere. And I don't know her father, but he's got a little church in Africa. He said she's got about 30 members. But you know, it may be, who knows? God knows all things. And he watches over his little elected. And if she's got a true gene, he led her to the place she needed to be for this step of her life. She may go on somewhere else some other day if the time should, the Lord should tarry. But she found something that she said she'd be back. She wants to come. And you know, may we be able to try to help her and encourage her. Maybe we don't know anything about their country. They live in such, it's so different. The cultures are even so different. But she's modest. And being down there where she's at and the people that she has to be with, oh, what a singleness she must feel. And I can feel how she felt this morning when she was able to say, I've found people like me. Oh, what a joy it ought to be, saints. What a testimony it ought to be for us in this day with everybody we associate with. Can they see a light shining from us that's something more real? There's a lot of people that don't smoke. There's a lot of people that don't drink and do all these things and maybe dress decent and don't go to a lot of places. But can they see that true reality of that total peace and joy, a quietness in us? Oh, may God really take us in his hands and use us. Pull us closer to him that we would be a greater light for him. Oh, may the Lord richly bless you. As our brother comes, let's just sing that one more time. Jesus got a hold of my life. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go.
Precious, precious Lord, again we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that it'll have found a good place in our hearts. Lord, something said could grow and Lord be nurtured, that it would cause it to press along a little harder and a little faster. Lord, we appreciate the word of God so very much. And Lord, I pray that truly our lives here will truly be a light shining on a hill. That it won't be covered up and covered over, but Lord, it'll shine forth with your glory and your praise. And Lord, I thought of a quote, and as our brother was kind of mentioning a few things there, and a quote come to my mind with the prophet. He said, you know, within ourselves, we're a little creator within ourselves. We create an atmosphere, Lord, of that would cause a people, and Lord, to want to be around you and be with you and to feel that presence. And Lord Jesus, I trust that each and every one of us will have that in our hearts and our lives, that, Lord, people will want to see us and want to be with us, and they'll want what you've given to us by grace and mercy. And Lord, we appreciate you so very much. Pray now that you'll bless each one as we part our ways, Lord, for a temporary time. And again, just asking you to watch over us and keep us safe and keep us in your care, Lord. And Father, just deal with our hearts wherever we're at and whatever we're doing. Just move upon our hearts and gather us closer to you. And we ask it in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm nuts. I don't know. Maybe. I love the Lord. No, he's real.
Amen.
go home and see him. Amen. As her brother was talking about the little sister there, if there's anything or anybody wants to kind of just help out in getting her here till she gets something else taken care of or gets her car or whatever, maybe you could just give the deacons a little note or let them know so they can write it down. And like I say, and we're just trying to figure it out so it ain't such a burden for one person to. We appreciate Brother Timothy running down there today to get her and take her home. And like I say, and I, Lord willing, maybe next Sunday, Grace will be taking care of it, because if Lord willing, and it don't change, probably my daughter or my wife will be going down and pick her up. And then Grace is going to take her to Paul and Heather's with them, or her, and then come back down Sunday with her. So maybe, Lord willing, Sunday won't have to have somebody. But like I say, if there's anybody wants to volunteer for that, and you got the means to do it, and you know, time to do it, and like I say, it'll be a little bit of a, maybe a little load or something, you know, for a little bit. But like I say, maybe the Lord will work it out where she can get a car. She's a little afraid to drive right now, or even try to, because she's used to driving on the other, or other people driving on the other side of the road where she's from. So it kind of scares her a little bit to think about driving on the side we drive on. So, and like I said, I don't know what her finances is or anything like that. She's never mentioned that so far to us, but like I said, I know she wants to be here. I know she told us at the restaurant today, I think it was Heather mentioned something about just adopting her, you know, and she says, please adopt me. And so, you know, she found a church that she don't want to look no more. So pray God will bless her and help her.
Amen.
It's a soul.
Amen.
If one more could get one. And you don't know, it might be the last one. Don't know. We don't know these things. But she even said that when she was got all the list of the ones that Voice of God recordings give her, there was something about the Capstone Life Tabernacle that stuck out to her. And she just felt that should be the place out of all the lists she had, you know. So like I say, we can be a help to her. And if that Jean's laying in there, just think. The 99, it's already there. But if one more comes in, that last one, look,
amen.
All heaven rejoices.
Amen.
You know. Amen. May she see life, reality in our lives. Amen. I don't know what's going on. But for some reason, Jesus Christ is more real to me than he's ever been in my life. As though he's there when I talk to him. And he's interested in me. I know he loves me. And I know if I'd ask anything, he'd give it to me. Because he loves me. I love him. But I want to do everything it's his will.
Amen.
Everything. So may God help all of us. Strengthen us.
Amen.
Encourage us. To press on. I'll be right in everything. Perfect. I want Jesus Christ to live in my life. Trust that's your desire. To see him in your life completely. Amen. I love him. Do you love him?
Amen.
Then keep his commandments. Amen. Whatever he wants. Say, Lord, thy will be done. Though it may cost us a little price, great price maybe at times.
Amen.
But obey him, what he says. Amen. It'll all come out good. Amen. May God richly bless you.
Brother Neil,
yes.
The sister is financially stable as far as I can understand.
That's good.
She's a paid teacher there as well as a student.
Okay, that's good.
So she's got very good housing. She's very well taken care of there.
That's good.
And she is fine with riding Go Bus. So, and I mentioned to her that we may have to, the bus comes late Saturday night, and it also comes at 5 a.m. if we get Logan around 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I told her, I said, it may come to a point where you may have to ride the bus to Logan, and one of us will just run from our house and take you out to our house till service time, and then we'll see about getting her back home.
Okay.
So she's very open. She's willing. She's not looking for a handout. I never got that in the least bit.
Good.
Fellowship.
Amen. You could imagine, probably, if she feels that kinship there and love and being over here all by herself, you know, not having her family here. So may God bless her. Amen. All right. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed.
Amen.
Amen.